Good evening, Abba Yisrael. A good winter to everybody. Long time no see, as they say. I hope you had very uplifting Yom Tovim, and I hope that you steiged and you got chizik from the beautiful, beautiful Yom Tovim. Yerech Ha'isonim, the pasuk in Novi calls the Chodesh of Tishrei, the month of Tishrei in Novi, in Sefer Melachim, it's called Yerech Ha'isonim. The month of Esonim, Yerech Ha'Esonim. Yerech means moon, but month. Ha'Esonim, and Eson means strength. Yerech Ha'Esonim. So why is the month of Tishrei called Yerech Ha'Esonim? So the Rashi explains, and it's beautifully explained in the Balei Musa, that it's the month that has more mitzvahs than any other month of the year. And it's therefore a strong month. If you think about it, if Rosh Hashanah with the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, they're moving Aseres Yemei Teshuva, they're moving on to Yom Kippur with the Inuyim. The Inuyim mitzvahs Hayom and Yom Kippur are very, very great indeed. Moving on to, of course, Sukkot, which has the Dalet Minim on the one hand, mitzvahs Yeshiva Sukkot on the other hand, Nisach HaMayim, and there's so many mitzvahs, now, even nowadays, and even more so in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, it's loaded with mitzvahs. It's loaded with mitzvahs, and therefore it's called Yerech Ha'Esonim, Chol HaMoed. Last days of Sukkot as well, it's just so packed of mitzvahs. Hence, it's called Yerech Ha'Esonim. But of course, it needs a little bit of a deeper understanding. Just because it's got so much mitzvahs, they would call it a very great month or very busy month. Why is it called a strong month, Yerech Ha'Esonim? Why is it directly connected to strength? Why is it directly connected to strength? The fact that it's loads of mitzvahs, why does it make it a strong month? More than anything, Yerech Ha'Esonim. So the answer obviously is what the Balei Musa explained, they give so much chizik, is that it should give us strength. Not only that it's a very strong and loaded with mitzvahs, but it should give us strength. The mitzvahs should empower us and give us strength now. There's a few months coming that hasn't got so many mitzvahs. It's the dark winter, the long winter. And it should give us strength, it should give us the chizik to put it through the months of the winter and give us the chizik and the inspiration to get it through. Now, Chanukah is still quite far away, and so it should give us the chizik, and that's the Yerech Ha'Esonim, should give us the strength and the chizik to go through those months. So, Mitzvah should be zoichet of a very, very gesund winter and a starken winter, and we should be able to carry on learning all the halachas, kedeboy, and with chizik and with lots of steiging, Mitzvah Hashem. So just the plan is as follows. We felt obviously a little bit behind over the year. We were very much on track, Baruch Hashem, very, very much on track throughout the entire Elul. Now, obviously, through Tisha, we fell behind a little bit. So we are now up to Simon Kuf Samach. We actually had a little bit of a start in Simon Kuf Samach. The official Luach is already quite a few Simonim deeper in. So they're still in Hilchas and Tilas Yudayim, but towards the end of Hilchas and Tilas Yudayim. So we're going to be speeding up a little bit. There is some simonim which I want to go into great detail. For instance, there is a couple of simonim away. There is the halachas of chatzitza, which is really fascinating halachas. We know it's nogea to other areas of halacha as well. So halachas chatzitza, which is really interesting when you wash your hands about all the halachas of chatzitza. Is this plaster really a problem or not? What about a wound? What about all those shilas? Rings and all that will be discussed as well in Mitzvah Hashem. We have more to discuss with regards to the actual way of washing hands. Fascinating halachas. Do you need to do it twice? Do you have to pour water twice over or not? That's also going to be discussed. And then it's about the raising hands. Is raising hands necessary? Or do people raise hands when you wash hands? Do you raise your hands or do you not? So is it the right thing to do? Is it not the right thing to do? So there's loads of fascinating halachas that are still going to follow Mitzvah Hashem. So that's all to come. But there are going to be some simonim we're going to be trying to, you may notice that we're trying to speed up, but just to keep back on track in Mitzvah Hashem. So we are today up to Simon Kuf Samach. We started Seif Aleph, and we actually did already a little bit of Seif Beis. I'm going to zoom through it just to get the right picture. That's page 104. It's the new booklet. It's easy to know what we're up to. It's the page 104. Let me just maybe start again from Seif Aleph just to get the full picture. Okay, so Hilchas Netilas Yudayim, Simon Kuf Samach. Ezimayim Kshirim Ve'ezu Psudim Netila. Which waters is acceptable for Netilas Yudayim and which waters are no good? Are you okay with that? You can take this little Mishnah boy if you want. Do you want a Mishnah boy? Yeah. So, Simon Kuf Samach. So, Maim She'nishtanu Mareim. The Shulchan Aruch says that any water, it's on page 104 in the Dishu editions. Maim She'nishtanu Mareim. Water that changed their looks. We spoke about that in quite in detail previously. So Maim Shenishtanu Marem, if the waters change their appearance, they change their looks, Bein Machmas Atzma, whether because of their own reason that it just the water became, it's old water and it's gone a bit old and it's gone green or it's gone brown, it's gone grey because of the, it's not pure and not clean water. Bein Machmas Dovah Shenofal Esaychono, whether the water has actually changed appearance because of that, has fallen into the water. That may also change, imagine like bread that fell into the water, all the items that fell into the water and that changed the appearance of the looks of the water. Pein machmas mekoyman, or just because of their place, the water was sitting in a certain place that was affected by its vessel. Now the looks of the water is different, it has got a certain color now. Psulin, all these waters are posul in netilas yadayim. If it's changed its look, it's posul in netilas yadayim. We spoke about all the details in the Mishneh Berurah. But now we're moving on to see base. An additional halacha with regards to netilas yadayim is not only the appearance must be its original appearance, pure water, but it must also be water that has never had a melacha. It must not be water that has been used for something else. So, if you took the water and you used it because you had really stale bread, we're not very familiar with it nowadays. We're very spoiled. But if you ask our grandparents, they're going to tell us that when they were short of bread, they would just soak the bread a little bit. Do you think it would be tasty? No, it wouldn't be particularly tasty, but that's what they would do. They would have the bread, they would soak it a little bit. Now the water would be utilized, the water would be used to soak the bread and give it a new, fresher taste. So therefore the water would be used for something. That water now, even once I've removed the bread, the water now was water that osa melachtoi, water was used for a melacha, and hence it's not kosher for netilas yadayim. Yeah.
Well, why do you need to use pure water?
You don't have to, you could use anyway, if you wanted to use Coke, to give it a Coca-Cola taste, for the bread, you could do that. Happens to be that... good question. Why is it they need to pure? Good question. The answer is because we learn it from the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kohanim needed to use from the Kiyoy water which was not used for anything else, and we have the same requirement therefore that water has never been used before, because that's the Kedusha that we want to get through Netilas Yadayim.
So you say you could use Coca-Cola?
No, I said if he wants to make the Coca Cola, we're gonna get to that. Actually, we'll get to that. We'll see. Keep that on the shelf for a moment. Okay, we'll get to the Coca Cola. We'll get to other mashkim. We'll speak about that. That's halacha a little later on. Can you use Coca Cola for netilas yadayim? Good question. Okay. Okay. Even if you didn't intend to actually soak the bread in that particular water, you actually intended to soak in a different water, but it just happened to fall in that water. It wasn't the intention to soak it there. You wanted to soak it elsewhere. But therefore, the water is possible until that's your dime. Similarly, if you had a bottle of wine and just wasn't quite the right temperature, you wanted to cool it a little bit, and you took the bottle of wine and you cooled the wine in some water, the water now did a certain something, it did the melacha, the water did the melacha, the water was used for cooling down the wine bottle, that's possible, and you can't use that water now for the tilas yadayim. Similarly, if I use that water for washing up dishes. Don't know too much details about that, but if you wash dishes, I think you need water. if you want to use that water that you use for dishes, and you want to use that for netilas yadayim, that's psulim as well. Vimo yukelim mutochim oy chadoshim kshirim. That's interesting halacha. Himo yukelim mutochim. If the kelim were actually vessels were actually completely clean already, and you're just rinsing it yet again, then actually the water is kosher netilas yadayim. What could the reason be for that? Exactly, it's not considered a use. The fact that you used it for clean kelim, you didn't serve any melacha really. Similarly, if the kelim were brand new kelim, kosher again, the water that you used for brand new kelim, you went to IKEA and you washed them now before using them, whatever. So now the halach is a brand new kelim. You don't have to, and you used it. You can use that water now for netilas shadayim. It's kosher. That's interesting. Shad Rabbi said, previous generations, the baker, the nachtoim was a baker, and he would take the bread. I don't know. Does anybody? I don't know if that the baker would give it a enhanced looks by just putting some water on the bread. Gluskin is a kind of bread, any baked item. You'd give it a certain watery excitement. It would look a bit nice if you like smear a bit of water on it. So now we meet build by Nachtoma Gluskin. If you'd actually just take the bread that was baked and you dip it in the water. If you dipped the bread in the water, can you use the water for Netilas Yadayim? Correct. Possible. Psulin. It's possible. You can't do that. So if the baker took bread, he dipped the bread in the water, and now removed it, you can't use that water for Netilas Yadayim. But if he just dips his water in that, he dips his hands in the water, and now with wet hands, he smears his hands on the bread, that's fine. Why is that? Why so? Why is it that if you take the chal, if you take the bread and you put it in the water and you remove it, now the water is possible, then it's tilas yadayim. However, if the baker takes his hands, he takes his hands and he dips it in the water, and his wet hands now are going to smear on the bread, the remaining water now is kosher tilas yadayim. Why is that? Why? Oh, very close, very close, very close. What could be the reason? Oh, very good. That's probably what you meant as well. It's not the same water. Because what happened is, the Mishnah Berurah explains that the water that was used is actually the water that was taken. So it's as if the water that was used is the water that was taken and smeared on the bread, and the remaining water was never really done a melacha with.
Did it drip back into the water?
Yeah, no, I don't know if he did. Good question. I think he just smeared it, and after he went, he dried his hands. Assumingly. So therefore, that's fine. Similarly, if you took some water, the baker took some water, he spritzed a bit of water onto the bread, again, it's fine. Because the remaining water was never done a melacha with, unless the water changed significantly appearance. Because remember, his hands may be full of flour, or maybe a bit of dough, or something like that. So it could be that when he dipped his hands into that water, it could be that the appearance of the water changed significantly, and then it will be possible, not because of melacha, but because of shinui maret. Again, any water that changed significantly appearance, it will be possible, and that applies to the baker's water as well. Yeah.
This applies for all the cases.
All the cases. Are you asking?
Yeah.
What are you asking?
Does this apply for all the cases?
Can he? I don't understand the question.
Yeah, think of if you take water from the. If you take out the water that you're going to use.
Yeah, correct. Whenever the water that was done a melacha with was removed, so the remaining water is finally to the sedaim. Yeah, so good. We're moving on to Tiv Gimel. Maim shelifnei hanapoch. Hanapoch is a smith. So he is, what does he use water for? Cooling the metal. That's right. Cooling the metal. So he's doing any work with the metal. It could be a goldsmith, or could be any kind of metal kind of work. He's manufacturing and he's shaping and he's shaping any types of metals. So after shaping the metal in fire, he needs to cool down the metal. So he has water in front of him. So what's with that water? Can use it for a tilas yadayim if he suddenly gets really hungry and he wants a sandwich. Can use that water in front of him? Why not? Been used for malacha. Maim shelifnei hanapoch, water which was before the napoch. Af al pish lo nishtanu marehem, although their appearance has not changed, the water looks completely normal. Psulim, it's possible. Why? Mipnei, because it should be Yodua Shenaseh B'melocha, because it's clear, it's evident, it's obvious that the melocha was done without water. Why? Because he took the metal and he dipped it in the water. V'ayinu Shekibur B'Eman Basel, he certainly dipped, he certainly took the basel, the metal, and he was mechabe, it cooled down the metal through that water. And what about water that is in front of the barber? Why does barber need water?
Wash the scissors.
Wash the scissors. So he's got scissors and he's got water in front of him. What about that? Water in front of the barber. Been used? The scissors are Shulchan Aruch.
It's just cold stuff going
in
there.
So therefore what? Cold doesn't make it. You're saying that since it's just dipping it, it's not called a melacha? Well, why is it different than, say, the bread?
Oh.
Oh, we'll get to mos shortly. We'll get to mos. But as far as the barber is concerned, the water before the barber, if it's got that, if it looks dirty, which is probably likely to be the case, I imagine so. You know, there's going to be cut hair, and I suppose it's not particularly clean water. So if it's changed appearance, then psulim vimlav ksherim. But if it's not changed appearance, the water looks pretty clean, the water looks quite normal, then it's kosher. Why is that? Why is that the water that was used for the barber, as long as it's clean, it's kosher until that's a dime? Why is that? So Mishmur says, interesting chiddush. He says as follows: since they've got new tests, shlifnei asapo, says the Mishnuburim, shemediach sham lifomim klei melachto v'chidoyme. The key word is lifomim. Shemediach sham lifomim klei melachto, because he occasionally will dip his scissors, klei melachto, his scissors, his kelim, into that water. Will occasionally dip it into v'chidoyme and similar. Avol eino bechazoka shediach sham. It is not obvious. It's not clear. It's not certain that he washed his scissors in there. It's not sure. Lochein, but therefore, ksherim misofik, it's possibly kosher. It's kosher misofik. Since we don't know for sure that he used it, it's kosher. Like I mentioned, viewed aleph. So, as the Sharetzin explains, the reasons why it's kosher, it's not because of the melacha per se. If we know for sure that the barber took the scissors and he dipped it in there, then it's actually the water is going to be possible until that's a dime. But the point is that barbers, we don't know for sure, for certain, that he dipped it in there. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. We're talking about a case that we know. Here, we're talking about the average barber. The average barber, we look at the water in front of him. We don't know for sure if the scissors have been dipped in the yard or nished. We don't know. So at our suffix, we assume that it's fine, you can use it. But if we know for sure that he dipped it in, if he knew himself, the barber, that he dipped the scissors in there, and I want to do this dime, it's going to say, oh, excuse me, it's ma'am shenal sumam locha. It's just a suffix allows us over here. It says no chazoka. As opposed to what about the metal case? So there, even if it's a suffix, we don't know, we assume that it was used. So therefore, even if we don't know for sure, we're going to assume that the water was used for cooling down the metal, because he's always going to end up using it. He needs to. So therefore, it's going to be possible either way. Okay, well, now we're going to speak about mos. Rabbi Isai, what about water which was in front of pet? In front of, let's say you have water which you had in your bird's cage. In your chicken, what is it called? The chicken? Chicken pen. Okay, you've got a chicken pen in your back garden. Okay, and you're running out of water and you're looking at, oh, and you really want your sandwich. You see the chicken pen over there, you see there's some water there. And you say, you know what, actually, when nobody's looking, you want to just take that water and wash your hands with that. Will that work, yes or no? Is that considered a problem or not? Yeah. Very, very good. So you're saying, very geschmack, you said that it's just not clean. It's not clean. It's not clean water. Never mind the point that it's nasa b'melocha or not. Could be it's not considered melocha at all, but it's just not clean. Who on earth is going to wash hands with dirty water? And that's exactly what Shulchan Aruch says. Precisely that. According to the Mishnah Berurah. Very good. Maim sheshosibim atanegoilim. Water that tanegoilim, that chickens drank from. Or shelokak, that he licked. Perish shtiyas hakelev, nikolikika. That a dog that a dog licked from that water, the dog licked from there. Some say it's possible. Don't use that water. But however, Shulchan Aruch says, many say that it's not true, that it's actually not, it's not true that it's possible. It's actually, it is kosher. Hello, bein ba'elu, bein b'chol sha'beim echayv oif, yesh lehachshir. So some say that actually, it depends, some say, hello, bein ba'elu, bein b'chol sha'beim echayv oif, yesh lehachshir. Some say that it's possible. Any water that we use, that an animal drank from is possible. And others, says Shulchan Aruch, say that actually any water that was used for drinking for any animals is actually kosher. So what is going on over here? Mishnah Berurah in Sifkaton Chav Gimel, in Sifkaton Chav Aleph says that there is actually a Mishnah Berurah in Sifkaton Chav Aleph that there is a machlokes about it. But let's just get to the Sifkaton Chav Gimel, which is Halacha Lemaisa. That he says, "V'achronim chilku b'inen zed ibetane goyim v'chem b'shtias chay v'oyv k'shem k'dasa mechav v'knala v'shtias kele v'chazir apostam shum yus." Said it depends. What kind of, which animal is more most, you think? If you think that it's about, do you think that the animals that is more disgusting to drink from than, to use from Natilas Adam than other animals? Yeah, which animals do you think would be more?
Dog.
Right. So the way the Mishnah puts it is it depends if they have got the more saliva they've got. So it says that animals that are, don't have saliva, those animals, so for instance, he calls a chazir and a dog, I suppose cats as well, they've got, when they drink, they drink with their tongue and there's saliva coming out. That is considered spitzmos. That is totally, that's very, very much disgusting. However, if it's an animal like a tanig or like a chicken, I suppose most birds, that there's no saliva coming out, they're dry, their mouth, not called a mouth, it's a, they're completely dry, then it's not as mos. It's not as mos, and therefore that water, Shulchan Aruch, is matir. Halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says, v'chayotim kosu b'shias hadchak, yishlis mechal da'as ha'mechab, alahati af be'elu, Mishnah Berurah says, but the evidence on b'shias hadchak, if you really, really need to rely on such water, you can use water which was used by non-saliving, is such a word?
Salivating.
So, but the evidence b'shias hadchak, if there's no other water available, you can use non-salivating. You can use that kind of water. However, lechatchila, one should not rely on that at all, because there is an element of mius. There's an element of I don't think we would really use it for on the normal circumstances, and hence one should try to avoid it as much as possible. But again, b'shas hadchak, if there's nothing else available, there's room to be mekel. Just to recap what we covered tonight, Be'ezer Hashem, we recapped Simon Kuf Samach. We learned water that has changed appearance is possible. We, with the chazon on that, we mentioned as well that any melacha that was water which was used for melacha is possible until a sudaim. We learned, however, vessels which were clean and use the water is kosher until a sudaim. Brand new kalim as well. We learned about the baker. We learned two scenarios why water used by the baker is possible. If it dipped, right? However, if the water was, he spritzed water or he dipped his hands in the water and he used the water like that, that's fine because the remaining water was never used for melacha. We spoke about the smith and we spoke about the barber. The barber's water is, if we're in doubt, we can use that water. And we spoke about any animals, water. We learned that the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions, and the Shulchan Aruch brings an opinion which is lenient. However, unless very extreme circumstances, one should not be mekel. And we'll carry on from Seif Hay tomorrow.